On a Friday morning, it's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep. Scandals at newspapers owned by Rupert Murdoch's News Corp have sparked debate over how much influence they hold in Britain. But the media conglomerate casts an even greater shadow in Murdoch's native Australia. News Corp produces a majority of all newspapers sold there. Among the Murdoch titles is the country's only national general interest newspaper, The Australian. In this second part of a series, NPR's David Folkenflik reports on the Australian's outsized influence.
Robert Mann is one of Australia's preeminent public intellectuals and journalists, and he tells me the first thing to know about The Australian.
It is by far the most detailed paper in regard to national politics, and it's also at a higher level of analysis in general than the other papers.
And smarter.
Sharper.
Mann shares a second key.
The Australian has the personal support of Rupert Murdoch. Everyone knows it. He created the paper. He's incredibly proud of it as one of his creations.
And then there's a third component. The Australian is not just a chronicler, but a player in national politics. It has no peer. Under Chris Mitchell, the paper's editor for the past 9 years, the Australian favored smaller government with less regulation of business, supported the invasion of Iraq, was skeptical of increased immigration, and was actively concerned with issues affecting Aboriginals. Those stances drive news coverage, not just editorials. And The Australian greatly influences not only News Corp's other papers, but debate on talk radio, blogs, and TV, including News Corp's Sky News Australia. James Chessel meets me in the gleaming lobby of a hotel in downtown Sydney. He's a former business and media reporter for The Australian, with admiration for his former editor, Chris Mitchell.
And I think he was pretty successful about putting out a paper that stood for something. You might not agree with it, but you knew where The Australian stood on a range of issues.
Chessel is now deputy business editor at The Australian Financial Review, a publication of the rival Fairfax Media Company. He says critics are wrong to attribute The Australian's editorial choices to meddling by Rupert Murdoch, but says it's more accurate to say,
you know, someone's probably not going to edit The Australian or The Daily Telegraph in Sydney if they haven't risen up through news and aren't sort of enmeshed in the culture and probably don't have similar views to other people at News.
News meaning News Limited, the company's Australian newspaper wing. The Murdoch papers have been hammering away at Labor Prime Minister Julia Gillard and her Green Party allies, and some officials ascribe a sinister intent, as the Communications Minister, Stephen Conroy, did last summer.
Well, I mean, you should start from the basis The Australian don't bother reporting news anymore. They're engaged in regime change.
Regime change. Andrew Jaspin is past editor-in-chief of the Melbourne Age, a Fairfax paper which is seen as more sympathetic to Labor. As we speak at a cafe, he says aggrieved politicians never like tough coverage, but this time they may have a point.
There is constant scrutiny of the Labor Party by The Australian, which at times is not just forensic, it's actually becomes quite caustic, it's quite corrosive.
The governing Labor Party has suffered from infighting and policy reversals, and its popularity has dropped sharply in the polls. But Jaspin notes that Australia has fared better than just about any industrialized society during the global financial crisis. You'd never know that, he says, from The Australian or its sister papers.
I think the key role of the newspapers is to do two things. One is to set the tone for debate. And the second one is to act as attack dogs when politicians or policies are put forward that they disagree with. They go in very hard on those.
The Australian is not strictly partisan. In fact, it supported the rise of former Labor Prime Minister Kevin Rudd before a falling out. Murdoch and his executives and journalists there declined to be interviewed by NPR. Even 10,000 miles away, News Limited executives are still dealing with the repercussions of newspaper scandals in London that revealed the hold the Murdoch press had over public officials there. At the scandal's height last July, John Hartigan, then CEO and chairman of News Limited, talked to the Australian Broadcasting Corporation.
Do your newspapers in Australia bully politicians or officials in that manner?
Look, I think we take them to their official capacity and responsibilities. I don't believe that we ever overstep. Yes, it's a love-hate relationship, and sometimes it's loving and sometimes it's very hateful. But I don't think, generally speaking, that we exceed our authority.
Politicians from both major Australian parties have granted News Corp key concessions, but the company doesn't always get what it wants. Its cable TV division has notably failed to win exclusive rights to broadcast rugby and Australian football. But journalists say the paper exacts a toll on those who oppose News Limited too vehemently. Robert Mann was once a favorite of the political right as an anti-communist magazine editor. No more. Last fall, Mann took aim at The Australian with a lengthy critique, and The Australian fired back.
I calculated at a certain point, they published within about 2 or 3 weeks 40,000 words of response. Every senior journalist, almost, had 2 or 3,000 words trying to take me down, including the editor himself, Chris Mitchell.
Mann seemed stupefied by the ferocity.
They essentially said I'd lost my mind, that I was insane, that I was a narcissist, that I had a series of personal agendas which were driving me on.
Other journalists say the message was clear. Don't cross The Australian. David Folkenflik, NPR News.